Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown, Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive. With Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. Sadly, no one on this show can raise their hand. You know we do a roll call at the beginning of the week, and I would love to come in here and be able to raise my hand and say my favorite college football team won. That was not the case. Rob can also not raise his hand, but I can only go so far with the jokes. If my team also lost, no one on the show can raise their hand. Now, if you're a K-State fan, proudly raise your hand. Great win for you guys on Saturday. Sadly, I cannot participate with you in that activity. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Coming up in about 45 minutes, we are going to give you the gambling perspective on Monday Night Football. We are also going to head to our nation's capital. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we only have 2 hours today. We are off early because of Chiefs pregame. We're going to hand things off. You know what? I would really, really appreciate it if you guys listened to the show the full 4 hours today. I mean, I would love it, you know? I would just absolutely love it. It would be so great. I need you guys to do me a couple of favors before we dive deep into this Monday Night Football game. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. You could tell two people, but if you just told one person to check out the show, I mean, I'd appreciate it. And number three, and most important, I need you to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So if you're looking for a place to watch the game, if you're not heading out to the stadium, maybe it's a little too cold, maybe it's a little too wet, a little too rainy, you're looking for a place that has great food specials, great drink specials, and you want to sit back and watch the game with other fans, I'm telling you, the perfect place to do that is with our friends over at The Other Place. Let me share with you guys a statistic to kick off the week and to kick off the show. So according to covers.com, so they keep all of the gambling information. If you are a double-digit underdog on Monday Night Football, dating back to 2007, as you would imagine, the Chiefs are big favorites in this game. Big. They are 10.5, 11.5 point favorites, depending on where you get your number. Double-digit underdogs on Monday Night Football are 27-9-1 against the spread since 2007. So we're talking about almost 40 games. We're talking about 18 years of data there. Now, I am not here to tell you that I think the Chiefs are losing this game. I'm not telling you that you need to be worried about this game. But what I am telling you is my number one message to the Chiefs would be keep the momentum. You could argue that this October, they have played as well as they have in any regular season month in the last 4 years. Their offense, their defense, really starting to hit their stride, especially once you got the return of Rashee Rice. We are talking about an offense that is really figuring things out and firing on all cylinders. You're developing a young player in Bashard Smith, a defense. This team has played really well the last couple of weeks and really, really shown that they are once again the best team in the AFC. Keep that momentum. And what I'm a little bit fearful of is that the Chiefs, and we've seen this time and time again, sometimes the Chiefs like to sleepwalk through performances, especially when they got the final exam here coming up in a couple of weeks. Maybe not final exam, the midterm. That's a better phrase to use. So all I want the Chiefs to do is continue to keep the momentum, continue how they are playing. Don't make this game close. Don't make this game interesting. Don't make this game a storyline. Don't sleepwalk through this game. You are a better team than the Commanders at basically every single turn. Quarterback, coach, offensive line, defense. You have so many advantages over the Washington Commanders. Don't give them hope. This would be a different story, in my opinion, if the Commanders had Jaden Daniels. If they had a special quarterback, the defending offensive rookie of the year, if they had a quarterback that you thought was special and could go out there and make plays and fly around and could throw for 250 yards, maybe run for 70 yards, a couple of touchdowns, then yeah, we'd be having a different conversation today. But that's just not the way I feel about Marcus Mariota. I imagine that's not the way that many of you feel about Marcus Mariota. I'm not here to disrespect the Commanders. I just don't think they're close to where the Chiefs are. So I'm looking at this stat, and the stat is interesting to me. That's a decent sample size, 27-9-1 against the spread. The math says that the Commanders will be competitive today. The math says that this game is going to be a little bit closer than people anticipate. But aside from my message of keep the momentum, continue how well you've played the last couple of weeks, it's also about keeping pace. The Chiefs are in a race, not just in a race with themselves and the rest of their division with the AFC West. They're also in a race with the entire conference to potentially be that one seed. If you look at all the teams that you think are potentially good, a majority of those teams won this past week. It was a very heavy favorites week. So if you're looking at the AFC right now, you're looking at the playoff picture. Colts won, Patriots won, Broncos won, Bills, Chargers. A majority of the teams that you think have a chance to make the postseason, any team that you think has the ability to make noise in the AFC, those teams all won. So now it's your turn. Continue to keep pace. Don't give up ground, especially not ground to a team like the Washington Commanders, which leads me to the final point of this thing is you got to keep the layups a layup. We know how difficult this Chiefs schedule is, and it's certainly going to get a lot more difficult after this game. This is their last gimme game, it feels like, for a while. That's not what Buffalo is. It's not what Denver is. I would say that's not what the Cowboys are on the road, because you just don't know what kind of team they're going to put out there. They're very consistently inconsistent. The Chiefs have, I would say, a couple of handful of gimmies between now and the end of the season. I would say Washington is a game, if you're a double-digit home favorite and you're playing their backup quarterback, that's a game that you feel like you should win. Houston at home is a game that you feel like you should win. On the road against Tennessee, on the road against the Raiders at the end of the season. Who knows where the Raiders could potentially be at the end of the season. They could be a team simply playing out the stretch, and it's in their best interest to lose because it helps them when it comes to draft positioning and seeding. This game is very, very straightforward. You have so many advantages in these games. So, Rob, as we kick things off today, and we'll talk more about Marcus Mariota here coming up in a little bit, and we'll also talk about the buzz and interest around this game as well. But my message is simple. Keep the momentum. You have played fantastic football for the last month, and you have transitioned from a team that felt kind of shaky maybe at the beginning of the month to now the feeling is that you are the best team in the AFC by the end of the month. certainly one of the more high-powered and best offenses in the National Football League. So keep that momentum and don't give a mediocre team, and that's what the Commanders have been so far. They've been a mediocre team. Don't give them any hope. You got to make your layups. They're free throws. Washington at home is a free throw. Houston at home. Tennessee, the Raiders. Don't let those games derail you from where you can potentially be. And also keep pace, because a majority of the teams that you are in a race with, not just in the AFC West, but also in the rest of the division, they won. Don't lose any grounds to those teams in A, trying to win your division and possibly getting the one seed in the AFC.
I feel like last week, or maybe now 2 weeks ago, leading into the Raiders game, the text line was, you know, doing the text line does. When we say that, hey, the Chiefs are playing lesser opponent, the Raiders are not very good, they're the Jets, the Dregs, the lead, look past them, they don't deserve your respect, all this, that, and the other. The Commanders are better than the Raiders, but everything you're saying in the open, I agree with 100%. If the Chiefs don't sleepwalk, if the Chiefs give the Commanders their full attention, if the Chiefs aren't focused on, I believe the game is November 2nd against the Bills, 6 days from today, if the Chiefs do a good job of focusing on the Commanders tonight, the Chiefs should do all the things you're saying. Their offense looks like it's the best we've seen since 2020, 2022. Their offense looks good. Don't take your foot off the gas. Their defense is rounding into shape. Early in the season, it was bad. It's not bad anymore. Don't let Marcus Mariota get a second life. Like, go out there, keep the foot to the gas, crush the Commanders. If you focus, if you take care of business, you should walk out of Arrowhead with a 2-score win that feels never in doubt, and then it is pivot to Buffalo time. Keep the momentum going. But if the Chiefs decide, hey, it's Bills week already, weird stuff could start happening at Arrowhead. Don't let that happen. Keep your foot to the gas.
Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the buzz leading into this game. We'll also talk about the MVP picture as we are reaching the halfway point of the season. I think it's starting to be very clear who the contenders are. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's game day on The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Hey, let me tell you guys that our Monday football coverage is presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success. At Busey Bank, they've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. If you want to learn more, why don't you go on the website, BuseyBank.com. So some of this could potentially come from a place of privilege. I can admit that from the very, very beginning. Now, I don't want to make you guys think that I have some ticket tree outside that I can just go to whatever I want to go to, because like you, I also pay for tickets. I don't pay for tickets maybe as often as some of you do, but I find myself sometime in the same situation that you guys are. So we were planning on talking about this, and usually when I come in here and sit down, so I sit in the chair that Alex has, so sometimes the text line is still up. So I see kind of what they were talking about at the end of the show, and I'm guessing they were talking about ticket prices, because I'm seeing the Broncos game is going to be about $150 for the upper tank. Somebody said for this game, so for the game tonight against the Commanders, we bought our tickets in late August, the 300 section. It cost us about $180 apiece. Someone else said, I paid $225 for nosebleed seats last year against Tampa Bay. All right, this is my question. Why do people do this? And I'm not even talking about the amount of money to go to the game. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I don't know why you would buy tickets in August for a late October game. So many things could change and could happen. But one thing I do know, like, I follow this enough to know, if you're willing to spend $200 a ticket, you will more than likely find a place in Arrowhead. Now, some games, that $200 might get you real close. Sometimes that $200 might have you up near the drum. But if you are willing to spend $200 a ticket, for the most part, you will find yourself a seat inside Arrowhead Stadium. There's 75,000 of them available. Rob, have you been checking the ticket market for this? Now, the reason I know this is because I follow that Lot J ticket group on Facebook, and I would really highly encourage you guys to do it. I would highly encourage you, if you were somebody who likes to go to football games, I would highly encourage you to check it out. So on there, I'm seeing, Rob, they're doing, it's like Black Friday on there. They're doing deals. I'm looking at it. You can get in $40, $50 a piece. I'm sitting there. Tickets for Less got a little ad. They're telling people. Matt McMullen, the Chiefs, you know they're not selling tickets for this thing when the Chiefs reporter is telling you, hey, we got tickets available. They're doing deals right now. So that same seat that you got back in August for $180, I'm here telling you it ain't $180 today. And it was never really going to go up much more than that. So I'm asking this, is this coming from a place of privilege? Because I'm looking at it through this perspective. It's 2025. You can buy tickets at any moment. It's not like you got to buy them super early. You can wait, see how the market plays itself out. What if an injury happens? What if something changes the game? What if the weather was terrible that day? It could be downpouring rain today, which obviously would affect it. I would just let the market play itself out a little bit more, and knowing in your back pocket, hey, maybe I set a little bit of money aside. Maybe I put aside $200 a ticket. And worst case scenario is maybe you got to burn that whole ticket fund to be able to go to the game. Maybe since you got that money stashed up and you got it stored away, and now on the day of the game, that $200 you had now for a ticket, you can spend $80 a ticket. Look at that. Now you can put that money back into your pocket. That's how I would handle it if I was going to these situations. But you and I were talking about this during the commercial break. You think people are doing this for peace of mind. That's why people buy tickets for football games so early.
I think part of it is definitely peace of mind. I also think part of it, too, is if you're not from the immediate metro area, like Commanders fans, I totally get it. If you're a Commanders fan, you're like, hey, I want to go to Arrowhead. I get it. Peace of mind. But let's say you're a person who lives in Iowa. That's a drive. It's 4 hours. Maybe you have Commanders and Chiefs tickets. You probably don't want to end up driving from Des Moines to Kansas City for Chiefs and Commanders and not having tickets in hand. So I think it's peace of mind for out-of-towners, but far this, more than someone
I know,
in the
a
building.
Lot of people are making the argument. I guess I'm asking, this is what I'm asking is, if you know you are going to it while you are traveling, can't you then buy tickets? Because I'm seeing this. That works if you're local. What about those that have to travel? If you always know that you are going to the game, let's say you are planning on being, that's what I'm saying, maybe I'm just looking at this wrong. If you're in Des Moines and you know that you are coming to Kansas City on October 27th, so you got the car, you got all of these other things figured out, why not just play it and see what happens with the tickets and maybe you catch a deal? The tickets were never going to be more than $200 to sit upstairs. Never. They were never going to go up in that scenario. So there was always a chance that you could potentially find yourself a little bit of a deal and a bargain. It's not like the old days where you got to go to the ticket window where you physically got to be there. You can track it right there on the app. You can see it going up and down and how many tickets are available and supply and demand. This is economics 101. That's why I'm asking. I have no clue why you would buy them not for a regular season game. I get it if it's a big time. That makes sense to me. But a week 9 game, I'm just giving the Chiefs an interest-free loan? What bank is doing that?
I think, and I get your point about the driving and you can still play the game. I would imagine, I was going to be my generic here. I guess it could be Wichita.
Anywhere.
I would imagine the fear of getting none really pushes people.
I guess I'm asking, in 2025, how is there a fear of getting none when there is a ticket? Ticketmaster is in your pocket. StubHub is in your pocket. There should never be a fear of never going to the game. Never. There should never be that fear. It's right there. Always. You can always get yourself out of the situation if you want to go to the game bad enough. Always. There is never a situation where you are caught stranded to go to the game. Never.
I think, and maybe this is, people have not adjusted to the new era. And by new era, I mean the fact that tickets are just on your phone, readily available, can grab and go, no problem. I think people live in a very 1997 world when it comes to tickets, and they're fearful that if I'm coming from St. Louis anywhere, I need to have peace of mind there in my hand so when I get there, I know I'm going to the game. Like that, I think that drives the decision-making process for people.
Yeah, and I guess for me, the only way, cause someone says, C-Dot, you're thinking through a gambler's mindset. Most of us understand why you're thinking this way. I guess I'm looking at it, I would just be very surprised. And I mean, I look at these when they first come out. I don't know what they were when the Commanders. I'm assuming it's a Monday Night Football game. I'm assuming it wasn't cheap. the odds are that you're not going to spend drastically much more than they tell you at the very, very beginning of this. Also, situations, market changes, just to play the market out. The only way I ever buy tickets super early now at this point is if you're getting like an odd number of tickets. Like if you need 7 tickets, if you got, okay, then yes, you should probably plan ahead if you got 7 people coming. But if you just got you and your girl, you and your wife plan on going to the game, I have no clue why you buy the tickets early. I would always just wait, always. And Rob, every time this comes up, you do this in real life. Hey, I want to go to the thing. What do I tell you every single time? Just wait. See how it plays itself out. You never know what could happen.
I will say, for me personally, I have gotten a lot better at waiting. Sometimes I go to an event like the Mariah Carey concert. It was a Christmas concert to my wife. It was a great time. I was like, hey, what's the deal with the tickets? You got the hookup. You were like, wait. My wife wasn't as patient as me, but I feel like I've come from the Carrington School of Wait. I now am team patience when it comes to tickets because they're going to happen. It's a matter of the price.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, please don't be this disconnected from reality. I mean, okay. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm just offering up my suggestion. That's just what I would do. I would try to help you in this scenario. If you were my friend, I would give you this exact same advice. I would not tell you to spend $180 for upper levels for Commanders tickets in August. I would tell you that's a terrible investment to make. I would tell you that from the beginning. I'm telling you that because I love you and I care about you and I want you to make the best financial decision possible. That's what I would tell you. I'd say that's terrible. Please don't do that. Right now, that same ticket you spent $180 on, I could find you right now on the internet for $40. That same ticket you spent on, and I could probably get better seats than you. I ain't got to do some radio magic trick. Go on the internet right now. They got them handing them out. Boom. Here, go to the game. That's the advice I would give you. I'm here to help you. That's why I care about you. That's the purpose of this segment. Rob, have we had a new challenger enter the conversation for NFL MVP? We know that Mahomes is the favorite. Josh Allen is certainly in that conversation. I'm starting to feel kind of different about Baker Mayfield. I don't think Baker can win MVP. And it's not because I don't think Baker's really good. I think Baker's phenomenal. I don't think Baker has the weapons and the dogs. Like, I don't think we're talking about him having a season where he throws for 4,200 yards and 43 touchdown passes this year. I think Mahomes could potentially do. I think Josh Allen could do something like that. I just don't think that now with no Mike Evans, Egbuka's been dealing with injuries, Godwin's been dealing with injuries. I just find it hard to believe that Baker's going to put up the numbers to win NFL MVP. So I'm willing to kind of remove Baker from this conversation, but I get why people would still be very much in the Baker could win NFL MVP. It feels like Drake May is now entering the conversation. If you're looking at it right now, Mahomes is 1, Josh Allen is 2. If you go on the gambling apps, Drake May is 3rd. If the Bills lose the division and the Patriots end up winning that division, I think Drake May is going to have a very, very serious argument. You know my thing. I say this every year. Since we have decided that only quarterbacks can win the award, because I actually think that Jonathan Taylor should be very much in the conversation, but really has no chance of winning the award. He'll probably win Offensive Player of the Year. That's how we kind of do this thing. It feels like it's kind of down to those three. It's Mahomes, Allen, and I think Drake May is at least building a case where he can potentially win NFL MVP. Their schedule lines themselves up. They play a couple of big games down the stretch. You know, they always want to promote the new fresh face. Drake May is absolutely in the conversation with NFL MVP.
Carrington, we talk about this with MVP all the time. First off, me and you just disagree on this, and that's fine. I, for one, am happy that it is quarterback-only award. You know what the V in MVP stands for? Valuable. What's the most valuable position on the NFL? Quarterback. So I have no problem with the fact the award is the best quarterback of the year award. That's how we determine value. Neither here nor there. I say this all the time, and I feel like you're right about Baker and the lack of dogs, but as much as people in the AP that have votes stare at the stats and the box scores and pour over the numbers, the analytics, as much as they go over all those things for how to determine MVP, you know, there is part of, we just can't calculate, the narrative part. And I think Baker is very much at play because the narrative part is very much in his favor. I would even argue that the lack of dogs on his team suddenly adds to the buzz around him becoming MVP. If you're telling me Baker Mayfield's the potential one seed in the NFC, which they're in the race right now, a division winner, and he has a, you know, good statistical season. He does it with me and you at wide receiver, and he had a battle injuries in the offensive line all year. I think there is a tale to be spun there about how he is MVP. I don't think Baker Mayfield's the favorite. I agree with Vegas. Patrick Mahomes is probably the favorite, but we know how these things go. The story and the lore and all those things about the MVP is almost as important as the actual stats. So I would say if you were a gambling man, Drake May and Baker Mayfield on these apps are smart long shot plays, long shot being relative, because how people perceive how the player played is almost as important as the actual statistics on the field. Because let's be honest, Lamar Jackson was better statistically than Josh Allen last year. But Josh Allen was, you know, he won the division again, and it was their year to get over the hump and all this and all that. The story is part of it, and that is very much in Baker and in Drake May's favor.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that makes a lot of sense. I can't really argue it too much. I guess I'm looking at it with Baker and with the weapons that he has. Is he expected to keep up that same kind of pace that he's been at so far? I mean, he's certainly in the conversation. Like, he's one behind Patrick Mahomes for touchdown passes. He also has played one full game more than Patrick Mahomes has. So we'll see how many he potentially throws today. I'm just looking at it, and I'd be very curious at the end of the season if Baker Mayfield is ninth in touchdown passes, for example. I don't know how you can argue that he's the most valuable player if you're telling me it's only a quarterback award for this whole thing. Now, someone on the text line is saying, what about Daniel Jones? I just kind of find it hard to believe that they're giving NFL MVP to Daniel Jones. I also just kind of feel like that I've seen enough of Daniel Jones' career to know the only times that he's been really, really good is when he's had the best, well, I wouldn't say one of the best versions of Saquon Barkley, the second best version we saw past the one we had last season, and Jonathan Taylor, who right now looks like the best running back in the league. So I think that Jonathan Taylor should be in the conversation, but they have determined that only quarterbacks can win the award. So, I mean, maybe Daniel Jones, I guess. This kind of feels like what happened last year with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold had a fantastic season. He got a big-time contract off that year. They were never giving Sam Darnold NFL MVP. There's no scenario in which I think they're giving Daniel Jones NFL MVP. He's not even close right now in terms of odds and ability to win it. Now, maybe some things change. If the Colts can get hot the second half of the season, I mean, hot against like the really good teams, they go on the road and play Kansas City. If we're talking about the Colts now winning those kinds of games and Daniel Jones puts up some big numbers in that scenario, maybe we can kind of revisit this conversation and come back. But I'm looking at their game so far. I'd be very, very stunned if the NFL decided that they're giving Daniel Jones the NFL. That'd be the most random MVP award I think they've ever given out. That would be a very, very weird award if they ended up giving it to Daniel Jones this year. Rob, you want to talk a little KU, K-State, man? You want to talk Mizzou, Vandy? Which one do you want to do first? I'll give you the option here because I know you were sitting in there. Are you guys calling it the new booth or just booth? Does it have a fun little nickname right now? I know you were sitting up in that thing. You were steaming because I'm just guessing. I haven't talked to you since Friday. When they got up 7-0, especially with how quickly it looked, I know you had that feeling in your heart time that it was finally going to happen. I mean, the first 5 minutes of that thing, I'm thinking, all right, man, KU, all right. I was feeling good about KU at that standpoint. And then it was like K-State just remembered who they were and like, oh, yeah, you guys are Kansas. And things turned very, very quickly and stayed that way for the remainder of the game. And I was thinking of you, Rob, when I was watching the game. Because they had a little special teams montage. They had that thing ready to go. I know you didn't see it because you were at the game. But when KU had the special teams mishap, they just went year in review and were just showing you all the mishaps and missteps. And then that's when I realized, oh, this is what Rob is talking about. This is why Rob has PTSD when it comes to the KU K-State rivalry. How were you feeling when you were sitting there?
It was. I'll be very transparent here. They get that fumble in the opening kickoff. They score. It probably wasn't a touchdown, if we're being honest. Jalen Daniels probably fumbled into the end zone. Didn't matter. They call a touchdown. It's 7-0. There's still 12 minutes on the clock. K-State, it felt like, oh, here we go. Me, the people sitting around me, my section, you know, there was a feel of like, not only is KU going to break the streak today, they might run them off the field. They might, you know, let out 16 years of frustration. It might be really time here. And then from that moment on, it was just rainy and cold and miserable. I know they cut the lead to 7 at half, and it felt like there was a little spark of something. And they come out in the second half, they go 3 and out, and you knew the game was over. You felt it around the stadium. You kind of, K-State fans started doing that thing where they're starting to puff their chest out because they feel like here we go again. KU fans had the here we go again in the worst possible way. It was a very unfun Saturday to be out there. You tell the story all the time on the air, and I think it's very apropos here about how that first year of Dennis Gates, you know, you felt like, oh, Missouri might beat KU this year in basketball. You know, Grady Dick, like they can get this team. And then you knew the under 16. Nope, not happening today. I felt a lot of that same emotion. I had a great day in Lawrence. The weather was a little bit drizzly. We had a nice little tailgate set up. Went to my favorite spots. Like, we got up there early. I was having a very nice Saturday morning, hanging out with the wife. I had some other family in town. It was a fantastic day. And then, basically from that fumble on, I felt like, oh God, here we go again. And it was just, it was some of the least fun I've ever had in that stadium. It was bad, real bad.
Someone on the text line says, hey guys, K-State fans are acting like it wasn't close at half. It wasn't. I don't care what the score says.
It was the biggest 7-point deficit I've ever felt in my life.
It wasn't close at half. It was over. It was done. I knew it. You knew it. I wasn't even there. I was watching it on the television. You could feel it. It was over. It was done. KU had their early wave. Jalen Daniels looked to me like he was trying to throw interceptions in the first half. Like, purposely. Like, he had the over on, he threw two directly to K-State players, and they just had no interest in catching it. And just at, it woke the K-State at, it has to be mental at this standpoint. It has to be. I'm sorry. It can't be. K-State is not that much better than this year's KU team. They can't be. I watched every game from both of these two teams. K-State is not that much better than K-State. It has to be mental. It has to be a, oh, here we go again situation. It has to be. I will say this, and again, I try to stay out of KU business, but I just noticed it. It feels like the tide is turning against Lance Leipold. It really feels like the tide is turning. Now, we don't got to dive super deep into it. I know it's a Red Monday, and we'll get back to the Chiefs here in just a bit. It feels like the tide is turning with Lance Leipold, and the natives are starting to get restless. And if you look at the rest of college football, I would say prematurely firing your coach, that is becoming the norm. Being willing to pay a significant buyout, Kansas, if you want to be taken seriously in football, you know what teams that are going to be taken seriously? They don't care what the buyout is. Lance Leipold's buyout is $22.5 million. The old KU would never pay that much money to a football coach, especially one who's doing fine. Now, it's one thing if it's Les Miles or it's Charlie Weiss or it's just somebody who's being, like, terrible, like a true negative on the program. That's not what Lance Leipold is, but I can't admit this. Again, as somebody who tries to stay out of KU business, it does feel like right now they are in neutral. For a while there, they're making great forward movement, which was to be expected. They were in a bad spot from the very, very beginning. But now it feels like the progress that they made from the very, very beginning, when things were certainly pushing and moving in a direction, it just feels like right now that they are in a little bit of a neutral. Now, I think that Lance Leipold is somebody that can get you over the Kansas hump. We're not talking about the hump, the Kansas hump. Can he be somebody that consistently wins 6 to 8 games a season? I think that's there. I think you were seeing a lot of the positives right now. But I will say the natives are getting restless. My timeline, and I get it, in the middle of a rivalry game, that's the most I've ever seen them turn on Lance Leipold in the middle of the season, to where people who certainly remember how bad Kansas football used to be, and Lance has pulled you all the way out of there, don't seem impressed by Lance Leipold anymore and want something new.
Here's the best way I can describe it. And I think stuck in neutral is a good way to describe it. I called it no man's land to a group text of KU fans I had. What Lance Leipold has done to take that program from what it was is legitimately incredible work. It was a winless program that had a terrible stadium. It was the absolute laughingstock of Power 5 football. You could argue there are a group of five jobs that were better than Kansas by a large margin. To take that to multiple bowl games, I still think they can make a bowl this year. 3 bowl games in, you know, 5 seasons is really, really impressive at Kansas. But I think Kansas fans are wondering if he can take the next step. We talk all the time on the show. There's a difference between a 10-win program and an 8-win program. Well, if you keep going down the ladder, there's a difference between being a 6-win program and an 8-win program. And KU fans feel like, all right, we have crossed the checkpoint. We now are a 6-win type of program. We're ready to ascend to an 8-win type of program, and currently, it does not feel like Lance Leipold is taking that ascension. Because last year, this year's disappointing. Last year's monumental disappointment. I know they didn't have a home game, whatever. They brought back Jalen Daniels, they brought back their O-line, they brought back Devin Neal, they brought back everyone, and they went 5-7. Yeah. So it feels like you went in reverse last year, and now you're stuck in the mud.
I think and I'm sorry to cut you off.
I'm not calling for him to be fired. I just feel like I don't know that he can be the guy to take the next step, but I feel like you have to be patient to see if he can be the guy.
I also feel like Lance has deserved a chance to pick another quarterback. Like, I like Jalen Daniels on a personal level. Come on the show. I've always been super impressed with him. He ain't it for where you guys are trying to go. And most of the programs that you were trying to emulate, they have that guy at quarterback. Vanderbilt has that guy at quarterback. Indiana has that guy at quarterback. So what I'm saying is, if you trust Lance, and I know some of you do, some of you don't, I'm willing to let him try again. He's had Jalen Daniels for 4 years in some capacity. I mean, he gets credit for Jason Bean, right? Like, they helped turn Jason Bean into an NFL player. They get credit for that. So I think he's earned at least a chance to try again. Every KU fan is telling me now money is just falling from the sky for NIL. Give this staff the chance to go out and buy themselves a new quarterback and let's see what happens next year. Because ultimately, that's going to determine if KU can take that next step or not. So we can talk more about this tomorrow. I got a lot of thoughts on Kansas football after watching. Got a lot of thoughts about Missouri football. I just wanted to get your thoughts after going to the game on Saturday between KU and K-State. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up on the other side. Our guy Nick Costos from You Better You Bet joins us on the show. I'm trying to help you guys win some money. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm really, really happy that this person was able to come on the show. A lot of times I tell you that people are one of the best, and that's the case. I think this person is the best person talking about gambling in the media. Nick Kostos joins us on the show today. He is with You Bet or You Bet. Nick, how you doing today, my man?
What's going on, my man? Great to be on with you today.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start with this. I read this stat to begin the show today. Since 2007, double-digit underdogs are 27-9-1 against the spread on Monday Night Football since 2007. Now, I like Kansas City. I imagine you also like Kansas City. But historically, the numbers suggest that Washington is going to keep this game interesting.
Great. Well, history can suggest that. I would say that history isn't going up against Patrick Mahomes tonight. It's this terrible Washington Commanders secondary. And Carrington, like, you're right with what you're saying about double-digit dogs covering in spots like this. And we have seen the Commanders get bet pretty heavily over the course of the day today. Yesterday, this point spread sitting in the range of Chiefs minus 12.5, close to hitting 13, but not quite there. I'm looking at my odds screen right now for BetMGM. Kansas City, a 10-point home favorite now. So a pretty big move driving this all the way down to 10. And while I can understand why this is the case, you can think about last week's point spread with Kansas City and Vegas kind of in a similar fashion. And the idea that there's a big difference, obviously, right, between even a Washington team without Jaden Daniels and whatever the hell the Raiders put on the field last week. I still don't think the betting market, Carrington, and I think your audience will love to hear this, and I've been consistent with this from the start of the season, I don't think the betting market is caught up yet to how good the Chiefs are. And now that this offense is complete, like in its full form now with Rashee Rice back, even with Josh Simmons out tonight, and Trey Smith doubtful, like this is not the defensive line that's built to take advantage of that. The Commanders' defensive line is injury depleted. Dorrance Armstrong, their best pass rusher, is out for the season. Here's like 40-year-old Von Miller. I think they're going to get no heat on Mahomes. I think Mahomes is going to have his absolute way with the Commanders' defense in this game. And on the flip side, you know, maybe Marcus Mariota can stroll in through the back door at the end of the game, but I would never want to bet on that. I think the Chiefs win. I think the Chiefs cover, and I think it gives them momentum, Carrington, heading into next Sunday's game in Buffalo, where I expect the Chiefs to win and cover that one as well.
I love a good anytime touchdown bet. Who are some of your favorite in this game?
Can I give you kind of like an offshoot of that, like a weird answer to the question?
Let's do it.
Okay. So Breshard Smith, who I like a lot, right? Kansas City's like seventh-round rookie running back who got a ton of burn last week against the Raiders, mostly in the run game when the game was out of hand. But we're seeing him used in the pass game as well, where he's kind of used similarly to the way Jerick McKinnon was when McKinnon was really having a ton of success in this Chiefs offense. But I found it noteworthy in the second half last week, and obviously like Mahomes is pulled at the end of the third quarter, and the Chiefs are killing the Raiders, right? Where Pacheco exits the game and Kareem Hunt exits the game, and Breshard Smith gets a ton of carries. Now, I'm expecting kind of a similar outcome tonight. I'm not insinuating the Commanders are going to run 30 plays on offense and get boat raced the way that the Raiders did, and Mahomes is out before the fourth quarter. But I do think Kansas City is going to win this game comfortably. And based on what we saw last week, I think that means that we see Breshard Smith as the running back at the end of the game. Now, in order to place this bet, you, the listener, you, Carrington, have to agree with my handicap and think that Kansas City's up multiple scores at the end of the game. And if that's the case, I think Breshard Smith's the running back. So I don't want to bet Breshard Smith anytime touchdown. I would like to bet Breshard Smith to score the last touchdown of tonight's game.
Right now, we're talking to Nick Kostos here for a couple more minutes, taking a look through the gambling perspective of the game. Let's fast forward to next week. I was looking at the look-ahead line. The Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite against Buffalo. Are you surprised? Is that about right to you for the Chiefs to be a road favorite in Buffalo, just given the fact that the Chiefs have kind of struggled against Buffalo in the regular season?
Yeah, I think, yes. Kansas City definitely needs to be favored. If they weren't, they would be bet to a favorite immediately. Buffalo looked good yesterday against Carolina. I mean, you could convince me that Andy Dalton was like going to join the NWO after the game and put on like a Buffalo Bills jersey as bad as he was in that game yesterday. It will be an entirely different story for the Bills defense, which stinks. And I've said that from preseason and this summer that I'm never going to take Buffalo. I won't take Baltimore either. I will never take Buffalo to get to the Super Bowl, to go through Kansas City, because this defense is no good. Because the defensive line isn't good, and they just lost their best defensive lineman, Ed Oliver, to a torn biceps. He's going to be out indefinitely. The linebackers are no good. I don't think the secondary is good either. And I think Mahomes is going to slice and dice them. So I actually think it's a healthy amount of respect for Buffalo that Kansas City's only going to be a 1.5-point road favorite. I am going to love the Kansas City Chiefs, Carrington, assuming they get through tonight's game unscathed from an injury perspective. I can't wait to bet the Chiefs coming up next Sunday. And I know I sound like a homer right now for Kansas City. I'm actually from New York. I just call it like I see it. I think this is the best team in the league. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Last one here. Give us one kind of flyer player prop that you like out there. Maybe something with decent odds, 8-1, 10-1, 12-1. Somebody wants to put $5 on it, can maybe win $50, $60.
So, and this is for like anything tonight almost in the world of sports?
No, Chiefs Commanders.
Yeah, I think that Rashard Smith last touchdown bet's going to be pretty good. I like some Rashard Smith stuff in this game, where over 7.5 rushing yards, again, with the thought process being, if they're up big, and I think they will be up big at the end of the game, like he's going to be the guy getting the carries. If I had to bet something with Washington tonight, I would actually bet Deebo Samuel over receiving yards. Thought being, Terry McLaurin plays almost entirely on the outside. The Chiefs have done a nice job this year taking away boundary receivers, but Deebo Samuel, kind of with his escapability, he's going to get targets over the middle of the field. He's shown an ability to make guys miss. I do like Deebo Samuel over 41.5 receiving yards if I had to bet that. And let me take a look at the anytime touchdown board here, see if I can give you something that's decent odds. All right, as we get a little down the board, on the Chiefs side, Tyquan Thornton would be where I would look. He's at plus 800. He caught a 43-yarder from Mahomes last week in the win against the Raiders. Now, obviously, his role has been minimized with Rashee Rice back, but he's going to be on the field, and history tells us last week, right, that he's still going to get some targets down the field. Washington's secondary is bad. So Thornton is the guy I would look at from the Chiefs side. And if you wanted to bet a long shot on the Washington side, I would look at rookie wide receiver Jalen Lane, who is a 10-1. Now, obviously, Deebo and McLaurin are back tonight, but I think Lane and Luke McCaffrey, have kind of carved out roles in this Commanders passing offense. Remember that Mariota is not the starter, meaning that in preseason and in training camp, he's working mostly with backups. We know he has a rapport with Lane. We know he has a rapport with Luke McCaffrey. Lane is the guy that I prefer. Jalen Lane would be my look for Washington at 10-1 if you wanted odds on a Commanders player to score a touchdown.
That is our guy, Nick Costos, joining us on the show today. He is with You Better You Bet. I think he is the best gambling voice in the country when it comes to this stuff. Nick, great stuff, man. Love catching up with you, man. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on the show. Let's go Chiefs tonight. Wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Nick Costos, joining us on the show today. Rob, let me give you the New York Times. They have their playoff simulator. This is how they have the AFC shaking out. Colts as the 1 seed, Patriots as the 2 seed, Chiefs as the 3, Ravens as the 4. Listen to this. The New York Times has the Ravens winning their division at 8-9. Very interesting. Bills the 5 seed, Broncos the 6 seed, Chargers are the 7 seed. That is how the New York Times playoff simulator has the playoffs shaken out.
I mean, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're cheering for that, right? You get a home game. And you have, if everything played to seed, you got to win in New England and in Indianapolis. I don't think those are two places the Chiefs fans are sweating with Drake May and Daniel Jones. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you're excited about that being the end-all, be-all.
100%. I would also say that would be one of like the very weird things to think, where you would probably be more nervous about your first-round matchup than you would moving forward if it ends up playing to seed. Like, the Broncos, Just given how this rivalry is, given that that'll be the third time that they play each other, I'm guessing that Chiefs-Broncos game is going to be incredibly stressful. You will feel very, very good if you got to go on the road and play Drake May in the second round of this thing. You will feel very, very good. Now, I know history between the Chiefs and the Colts, maybe you'll just bring all that up. If you're telling me it's the AFC Championship game and it's Chiefs and Colts, I don't care where that game is, I'm picking Kansas City. I refuse to believe that Daniel Jones is winning that game against Steve Spagnuolo and Patrick Mahomes. I have no reason to believe that will end up being the case. Let's talk more about what he said about Rashard Smith there. Some really, really interesting stuff about Rashard Smith, and also some other things that I'm going to keep an eye on heading into this Monday Night Football game. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe.
That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You know what? There is something that I have noticed, and maybe this is the opponent. Maybe it's the way that the offense is played. It's just something that I have noticed. The Chiefs are going to be missing 40% of their original offensive line. Everybody seems very calm about it heading into this game. I also feel very calm about it heading into this game. But your first round pick at left tackle, who was off to a very, very good start, we know that he's not playing in this game, and he won't be playing next week either. We'll see what it looks like after the bye week. So your starting opening day left tackle, unavailable for this game. Your potential all-pro, potential ring of honor, highest paid offensive lineman, your right guard, is also not going to play in this game. And everybody seems pretty cool with it. So one of the things that I have written down as kind of talking points, bullet points, what am I looking for? This game is going to test their offensive line depth. It is testing their depth at left tackle. It's testing their depth on the interior offensive line. Most offensive lines are prepared to go 7 deep. You got to prepare for something like what's happened. An injury happens. I know that Joshua Simmons is not dealing with the injury, but if you're not there, it's kind of like dealing with an injury. So you have an injury on a couple different spots. Now, you have positioned yourself very well when it comes to those things. You got Jalen Moore in pre-agency. You got Mike Caliendo. You got Caliendo playing right guard for you. This is, I think, as far as you can stretch your depth when we're talking about the offensive line. And one advantage that the Chiefs offense has had over the course of the last 3 weeks or so has been their offensive line has been really, really good. This is as strong of a front five that they've put together, which has really fueled their offense, really helped Patrick Mahomes. And you can tell he's looking comfy in the pocket. So is that going to continue to be the case? We just had Nick Costos on the show, and he was talking about Breshard Smith. I want to continue to see Breshard Smith get more and more opportunities. I don't really know what to make of the last game with the number of carries that he got. I'm not expecting him to get 14 carries in this game the way that he did against the Raiders. They blew that team out. The Chiefs basically sat on the ball for the final 30 minutes of it. I just don't think he's going to get that kind of volume. But that's not to me what his role is on the team. His role on the team is what he gave you in the passing game and how he helped you as a wide receiver and ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. And that he's done a really, really good job of the last couple of weeks. So, Rob, a couple of things that I'm going to be looking at, a couple of things that I think are very noteworthy to track are the offensive line and the depth really being tested. And to me, how they use Breshard Smith. We went from the first 3 weeks when their offense was struggling to now, over the last 4 weeks, they've really incorporated Breshard Smith. I mean, he only got two targets in the first 3 weeks of the season. Since then, four targets, three targets, four targets, five targets, and they're paying off. Last week, 42 yards receiving, 21, 32, 27. He has become a part of your offense. So as we are heading into the second half of the season, and this to me feels like the break in the season, after this, you got Buffalo, Denver, Indianapolis, Thanksgiving game against the Cowboys. This is kind of the end of the first half of the season. How do they use Breshard Smith? What is his role going to be moving forward as this offense continues to grow?
Let's talk about the offensive line, because me and you see Breshard Smith largely the same. I think he is worth a flyer tonight. He is definitely the Jerick McKinnon type if you're looking for a gambling edge. I don't know he's a great running back right now, but I think he is a great weapon out of the backfield. And it'll take time, but I think he can become a great running back. But right now, he's a pass catcher. But let's talk about the offensive line, because me and you have had our disagreements, let's say, with Brett Veach about the offseason. He seemed to view positional value wildly different than me and you view it. And that's fine.
Agreed.
Because the Chiefs' offensive line depth has been tested, and I think part of it's the opponent, but part of it's you feel like, oh, they have capable NFL player backups, so you don't really worry about it. You're right. Their left tackle is, he's not hurt, but he's not with the team. He's not playing. Their big free agent signing has stepped in and been fantastic, and it will be a conversation in the next 2 weeks about when Josh Simmons gets back, who's the starter. We know the starter tonight is Jalen Moore. He's been good. I will credit them. Everyone and their grandmother called Kingsley a bust 2 games in. He was a bust at left tackle. They told us. Brett Veach told us in the offseason. Andy Reid told us after the Bronco game, hey, Kingsley can be a good left guard. A lot of people were skeptical. They operate all offseason, he can be a good left guard. Credit to them. He's been a good left guard. They then kept Mike Caliendo on the team, who was totally fine, unless you like PFF numbers last year, in Joe Tooney's spot. And he's going to slide in tonight for Trey Smith. And most people think, yeah, it's a downgrade from Smith to Caliendo, but will still be okay. The fact their O-line depth being tested tonight, but the average fan thinks, ho-hum, it's still a good unit out there, is a testament to what Brett Veach did this offseason and knowing you don't need to be just 6 deep or 7 deep. You need to be deep at offensive line, and fans are not worried. There are times in Chiefs lore where if you were down 2 offensive linemen, you were in bad shape. Remember that game we talked about, the Colts? It was the 2019 game where the Chiefs lose like 13-10. They had multiple guys in the offensive line hurt that day. It was a disaster. They're playing the Commanders, Monday Night Football. They had multiple offensive linemen not playing tonight. Ho-hum, no worry, no fret in town. If you're at your tailgate right now, you don't even care about offensive line talk. That's a testament to Brett Veach's job this offseason.
One thing that I'm curious about heading into this matchup, and maybe this is me just being nervous for the sake of being nervous, and I couldn't live with that. Does Marcus Mariota have any juice left? Because I'm looking at Marcus Mariota, and I don't want to throw him in the same conversation as Kirk Cousins, who's close to 40. I don't want to throw him in the same conversation as Andy Dalton, for example, another older quarterback. Like, I don't think he's that kind of player. Marcus Mariota's 31 years old. He's not that far removed from being a starter in this league and being capable in a lot of ways. Like, I'm looking at the weapons and options that they have. I mean, if Marcus Mariota is fine today, they got enough to at least be pesky. The Kroski Merritt kids, he's fine. But you look at their wide receivers, you got Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel back, so you got two legitimate options at wide receiver. You got Zach Ertz, a guy who's been a pretty productive player in his NFL career. They're okay on defense. Like, the Commanders are 40% of the league. They're fine. They're not great. I don't think they're going to make the postseason. I also don't think they're bad, and you can just overlook the Commanders. They're a team that will win somewhere between 7 and 9 games and narrowly missed the postseason. And part of it is because the NFC is just completely loaded from top to bottom. So I'm looking at this game and I'm Does Marcus Mariota have enough left to be interesting? Does he have enough to throw for 215 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, play a pretty good game, and give the Commanders a chance in the fourth quarter to be one or two plays away from possibly pulling off the upset? If that ends up being the case, we're in for a good game. If that's not the case, and Marcus Mariota is cooked, which is certainly a possibility, if that ends up being the case, the Chiefs beat this team 37-10 and we all move on with our life and we don't speak much of this game after tonight.
So I actually see it a little bit differently. I think Marcus Mariota can have a little juice left, and I still don't know this game's going to be interesting. Because I think he is one of the, I don't want to say better backups, it's a weird sentence, but I think there are, if you have him in a game and you're the Commanders, you feel obviously worse than you do with your starter, but you feel like we're in an okay spot. We can survive in advance. I think he has enough juice to, if he's got a spot start over 3 weeks, you can survive and go 2-1. You just got to get help everywhere else.
I'm with you. That's where I am with Mariota, too.
I don't think the help everywhere else is coming tonight, though. Like, I think Marcus Mariota might have enough juice to win a game. Like, if the Ravens on Saturday had traded Tyler Huntley for Mariota straight up, I think Mariota could have beaten the Bears yesterday. I do. But I think that's a everything has to go right kind of game. I don't know he's going to get everything go right tonight. So I think he's a good player. I think he's still got a little juice left, and I think you'll see at times like, oh, there's something there still. Maybe not star power, but capable NFL quarterback, but it just doesn't matter. Their defense is bad. Their D-line is bad. Like, I don't think there's enough of the surroundings to make it interesting tonight, even if Mariota plays okay.
Are you more worried about the Commanders being a little more pesky than you are giving them credit, or worried about the Chiefs potentially sleepwalking and looking ahead to the Bills game?
Chiefs sleepwalking. I think the Chiefs sleepwalk and the Commanders are pesky enough to be a problem, but if the Chiefs come out with the full focus they had last Sunday against the Raiders, I do not believe the Commanders are in the game.
I'm with you there. I'm not maybe holding them to the expectation of last week. Like, I just think last week was just the absolute perfect storm. Like, I don't know if you can really beat another team that way. I'm probably more worried about the Chiefs potentially sleepwalking through this game too. Like, we've just seen the Chiefs turn in these efforts once or twice a year. We've seen the Chiefs where they know that their C-plus game is still good enough to beat 85% of the league. Their C-plus game is good enough to beat the Washington Commanders today. Where tomorrow, you look at it, the Chiefs won a 24-20 game. It was more edge of the seat than it potentially needed to be. But the Chiefs were never in any real danger, you think, of losing the game. We talk about it for one day on Tuesday, and then we all move forward and we're looking ahead to the Buffalo game on Wednesday. Like, we just seen that game script potentially play itself out. Now, the reason I give the Chiefs a chance to potentially avoid that is to what you just said about the Commanders' defense. Can their defense slow down Kansas City? Because right now it feels like I don't know how the Commanders can hold the Chiefs to less than 30 points unless the Chiefs turn the ball over. And so far, the Chiefs this season, they have two turnovers. They have two. So if Washington isn't going to win the turnover battle 2-0 or something of that nature, if this game is played straight up and Kansas City doesn't turn the ball over, that sounds like a 31-10 loss for the Washington Commanders if that's how it ends up playing itself out. Coming up on the other side, we'll actually head to our nation's capital coming up in about 10 minutes or so. So I was reading on Washington, like their version of Arrowhead Pride, and they gave a very interesting answer to if you could add any one player from the Chiefs to the Commanders that wasn't Patrick Mahomes, who would you pick? I'll tell you their answer. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about the Denver Broncos and their beatdown yesterday of the Cowboys. Before we do that, I want to tell you guys something I found earlier today when I was getting ready for the show. So I was on the Washington Commanders, their version of Arrowhead Pride, their fan information website. And I was on there, and one of the questions that they were asking their beat writers, if you could add one player from the Kansas City Chiefs that's not Patrick Mahomes, who would that player be? I was very surprised to see that George Karlaftis was the most popular answer that they were giving. Now, I understand positional value, and that's the argument, and certainly a good pick. I don't know why that has caught me off guard. I was guessing Rashee Rice before I clicked on it, but then I was thinking, oh, they already got Terry McLaurin. They already got Deebo Samuels. Maybe that's why they went in a different direction. That's interesting. I wonder, like, next week have somebody on from Buffalo. Maybe we'll ask this question, excuse me, to Kevin Sheehan, who's going to join the show in just a little bit. I don't know if Buffalo would give the answer of George Karloftis. The answer caught me off guard, as that would be the number one player you would take that's not Patrick Mahomes.
I am legitimately fall out of my chair stunned by that answer. Now, I don't think George Karloftis is a bad pick, and I think if you were to draft, I think he would probably go higher than you think of, hey, players the Commanders might add, because you're right. I think Worthy, Rice, Kelsey, if you're a Commanders fan, you might like your players more, but you kind of feel like they're 6 and 1 and a half dozen the other. Zach Ertz, Travis Kelsey, I think Kelsey's better, but if you're a Commanders fan, I get why you wouldn't take Kelsey. I also get, like, hey, we have McLaurin and Samuel, you don't want Rice and or Worthy. That logic makes sense to me. In what world is Trent McDuffie not the pick? Like, I know the Commanders have Marshawn Lattimore, and he's a corner who has had good pedigree in the NFL, but George Karloftis over Trent McDuffie to me is legitimately astonishing. And I understand, like, even not Chris Jones, because Chris Jones' age maybe comes into effect, but I'm legitimately very, very surprised that there is no, that they took Karloftis over Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie feels like the layup, and your point about positional value, corner is still an important position in the NFL. It's not like they took a kicker. Like, that just, that's what makes me surprised about it, is passing on Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, I also wonder if this might be one of those things that maybe we are just potentially too close to it. Because if you were looking at it from the outside, George Karloftis is in the prime of his career, pass rusher. And there's just not that many of them in the league. Like, we're talking about a 24-year-old, a player who doesn't really have an injury history, a guy with no off-the-field issues that you're worried about, and a guy that's shown you the ability to get after the quarterback. I mean, that's a major reason why the Chiefs ended up signing him immediately to the deal. Hey, we got a chance to extend you. We got a chance to pay you like we think you're going to take that next big step, and now we watch to see if you can take that next step. So I'm with you. I would take Trent McDuffie in this conversation too, but I also could understand how if you're another team and you see that the Chiefs have locked up a 24-year-old, a guy who played in 17 games, 16 games, 16 games, like a 24-year-old pass rusher with a perfect track record of injury history, I could understand how that would be very, very attractive to you to add, especially if you don't feel like you have that player on your team.
Like, don't get me wrong, I think George Karloftis is a good player, and I don't think if you're a Commanders fan, adding him to your roster makes you worse. I understand the entirety of the logic, I do. I just feel like if the exercise is add any player off the Chiefs roster, sans Patrick Mahomes, to help your team tonight and this season, I feel like it's got to be McDuffie. I understand the logic on Karloftis. I do. So on the text line says, if you wanted a pass rusher, why would you take Karloftis or Chris Jones?
I'd rather have Karloftis than Chris Jones.
I think age plays a huge 100%. Factor there. So, like, I understand. And like I said, if me and you were to do this exercise, I think Karloftis comes up in the first five picks. Like, I think he is a popular and understandable pick. You have your pick of the litter, and Karloftis is that was just very, very surprising to me as well. Like, and it's not surprising for the obvious reasons. It's because of Trent McDuffie exists.
The weekend in the National Football League was just filled with blowouts. I mean, they were everywhere. Like, just, you couldn't look around. Everywhere you look, it's all a blowout. One of those blowouts happened to be the Denver Broncos, who basically from start to finish just dominated the Dallas Cowboys. The Broncos have won 5 games in a row. Now, these have not been a murderer's row of teams, but they did go on the road and beat the Philadelphia Eagles, which is one of the more impressive wins of any team so far this season in the National Football League. I was very interested, so I put this poll out yesterday in the middle of the Broncos game. Do you think the Broncos are good? I was just curious. What are people going to say? Well, the results of that poll, 61% of people said yes. 38% of people said no. So give or take 0.4%, you follow me here. So about 60-40 when it comes to, do you think the Broncos are good? It does feel like this is going to be a question that the Broncos have to answer until they play the Chiefs coming up in a couple of weeks. But you and I have been kind of noting this as we've been looking at their schedule. They go on the road to play Houston. I imagine Denver's a favorite in that. I haven't checked the look ahead lines. I'm guessing Denver's a slight favorite in that game. They got Vegas at home on a short week on Thursday night football. And then they got a 10-day break. They got the long break heading into the game against the Kansas City Chiefs while the Chiefs are coming off the bye. And that's a home game there. It feels like that's the game that we are going to get our answer potentially, because for all the conversation that we are having about the division, it could the Chargers win it, could the Broncos win it. I know this. If the Broncos can't win the home game against the Chiefs, they're done. They're done. You're not winning the AFC West if you can't win that game. Now, winning that game doesn't guarantee you are going to win the division. The Chargers won their home game, and I use that in quotes because that was the Brazil game. But if the Broncos are going to win the AFC West, they have to win the home game against the Chiefs coming up in a couple weeks, because if you give up that one, and then you still got Green Bay, you still got to go on the road to Kansas City, and you got to play the Chargers to end the season, I just don't think the Broncos will then end the season with more wins than Kansas City.
So to answer your poll question on Twitter, yes, I think the Broncos are good. I think the Broncos, because funny enough, I put this on social media as the Broncos were beating the brakes off the Cowboys, that I think this is the first time in maybe 7, 8, 9 years the Chiefs have a legitimate threat in the AFC West. And not like, oh, you know, division games. I'm talking about like a team that I think is capable and has a lead on them, and we are at the halfway point of the season and they are leading the division. I think the Broncos are good.
Yeah, more so at least for me. I look at the Broncos, and this goes along with what you're saying. This is the first time that I feel like another team in their division can win 12 games. Because if you can't win 12 games, then it's not realistic to think that you can win the division away from Kansas City. There's certainly some divisions that you can win with less than 12 games. You can't win the AFC West with less than 12 games. You can win the AFC North this year. You're not beating the Chiefs. So I'm looking at their schedule. Right now, the Broncos have 6 wins, so they're halfway there. So the same way that we're talking about with the Chiefs and how you gotta make all of these layups, Washington is a layup. Tennessee is a layup. These games, the Raiders, you gotta win those games. Man, the same message goes to the Broncos. You gotta beat Houston. You gotta beat Vegas at home. You gotta take care of business in those games if you're serious about being a team that could win 12 or more games and could potentially steal the AFC West away from Kansas City.
100%. I think if you're a team that wins 12 games, you can. I don't know if they will, but they can win the division. And if they do end up taking the division from Kansas City, I wouldn't predict it, but they can. You're now hosting a playoff game at home. You feel like if you're a Denver fan, you can win a postseason game. I think even if Denver has to go on the road, I think outside of coming to Kansas City, you would think Denver has a good shot in a road postseason game. Like, I think Denver is good. Now, their quarterback is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, because he has been really good and then really bad at times. But if Sean Payton can get him to play consistent football, that defense is legit in Denver. And it is a team that last year gave the Chiefs all they could handle in the one real game they played here in Arrowhead. And the Chiefs came out on top because of a blocked kick. But the Broncos are good. I don't know if they're Super Bowl good, but they are good.
Yeah, I think we're trying to figure that out, at least when it comes to the Broncos, if they're one of those teams. Someone on the text line says the Broncos defense is legit. The Broncos certainly get a lot of credit for what they did yesterday to the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, Dak Prescott threw it 30 times and had less than 200 yards. He didn't throw a touchdown pass. Javonte Williams had 41 yards rushing, so they did a great job with the run game. George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, they had decent days but didn't really beat you. Both of those guys had less than 100 yards receiving, and the Broncos, they did Broncos things. I mean, they took advantage of what we know to be a very, very soft defense. But J.K. Dobbins ran for 111 yards. Troy Franklin had 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. Cortland Sutton chimed in. This Broncos team looks like they could be pretty complete. Looks like a team that you're going to have to worry about. This is a legitimate 3-team race in the AFC West. So that's why one of my big messages today for the Chiefs is you just got to keep pace with everybody. If you look at the rest of the AFC yesterday, all of the teams that you think are potential contenders or teams that you think could potentially grab a 1 seed or win their division, they all won yesterday. Indianapolis won, New England won, Denver won, Buffalo, these teams all took care of business this week in the NFL. The Chiefs got to do the exact same thing. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Kevin Sheehan. He's with Team 980 in our nation's capital, getting you ready for Monday Night Football. Kevin, man, happy to have you on the show today.
My pleasure, guys.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start with this. What is the buzz? What is the hype? How are fans feeling heading into Monday Night Football today?
Well, it's not exactly what we were hoping it would be when the schedule came out in April. You know, it was for us, it's been a while since, you know, the relevance has been there. You guys have been used to it. And last year was such an exciting kind of out of nowhere season. And so to see some of these games, including at Arrowhead on October 27th back in April, you know, I was hoping, I think we were all hoping this would be a massive game, you know, during the NFL season. 3-4 versus 4-3, you guys trending upwards. And, you know, our team has been decimated really with injuries, including the quarterback who's not going to play tonight. But you never know in the NFL. It's a weird league, right? When you least expect it, things happen. And we've seen in prime time just in the last month, a lot of big underdogs pull off, you know, stunners. I don't expect it to happen. And mostly because just defensively, Washington's really bad. But looking forward to it and really looking forward to getting healthier with Terry and Debo back and then Jaden back next week, hopefully.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me where I think if they had Jaden Daniels, I'd look at this game a little bit differently because you'd have a quarterback that could go out there, throw for 250 yards, run around, make some plays, and just kind of be that X factor and be special. Let's talk about Marcus Mariota. You got a chance to see him certainly a lot more closely than we have. How much juice does he have left? How much gas in the tank does Marcus Mariota have?
Well, first of all, this may be the best situation in his pro career. You know, in Washington, mentoring Jaden Daniels, being a backup in a system that Cliff Kingsbury is, you know, operating, that is just perfect for him. You know, stylistically, they're similar. He's got a lot of confidence, more so than he's had, I think, in recent years. He went through some struggles when he was in, you know, Atlanta and then with the Raiders in Philadelphia briefly. He loves this organization, loves being in D.C., which is, you know, for a lot of us that have been around here for a while, including the last quarter century with Dan Snyder as the owner, it's amazing when anybody says that they actually enjoy being here. But the organization's changed, and it's just a great fit for him. He's not Jaden Daniels, obviously, but what he does do well is he is still the dual threat quarterback that he's been, not only in his pro career, but going back to Oregon. He looks great. He's not lost a step. He's a really good dual threat zone read, you know, kind of QB. You know, with Cliff's system, there are a lot of easy throws. There's a lot of horizontal throws. He's played well when he's had the opportunity to play. And I think the one thing that everybody understands is they'll be professionally competent on offense tonight with Marcus Mariota. The real concern is what they've turned into defensively this year.
Right now, we're talking to Kevin Sheehan here. He is with Team 980 in D.C. Let's talk about the defense. I'm looking at it right now, and it doesn't look like Daron Payne is going to play in this matchup. You've mentioned it a couple of times. It's Commander's defense, the Commander's defense. What's wrong with it right now? Is it injuries or is it something else?
It's everything. They can't cover, whether they're playing zone or man. They can't tackle. They don't stop the run well, and they make up for all of that with a very average pass rush. It's been really a disaster against any team with capability. They were kind of fooled, I think, into some of their early results against the Giants with Russell Wilson and against the Raiders with Geno Smith, and both those teams had injuries. Even the Chargers had massive injuries along their offensive line when they played them. But you saw it last week. They can't stop the run. They can't cover. And it's a big concern a bigger concern now because the player that may have been playing the best for them defensively, Dorrance Armstrong, is done for the year. He tore his ACL last week. They got issues everywhere. I don't even know who will line up at defensive end. They don't have any edge setters. It's going to be interesting to see how they play it now moving forward. Will they play everything in front of them, cover two, deep safeties, try to tackle, and then try to win in the red zone? Or will they come after quarterbacks? I think that's a big question. But they're in trouble defensively, like several teams are in the league. You saw Pittsburgh last night, Dallas yesterday, Cincinnati's been a mess. And Washington's right there with them. They're just not very good. And to name one part of it would be really, you know, a disservice to all of the other terrible parts.
Are you worried about this season getting away from the Commanders? Because I'm looking at this stretch. They went on the road and they lost to the Cowboys. They go on the road for Monday Night Football. They got Seattle and Detroit, two of the better teams in the NFC. It feels like you could look up and blink and hear coming up in 2 weeks, Washington could be 3-7 and kind of out of this thing.
Yeah, it's a concern. Now, last year they weren't very good on defense either, but Jaden literally strapped the team to his back week in and week out, and they were able to win 12 regular season games. Now, they were playing the likes of Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener and Kenny Pickett and Deshaun Watson. They don't have, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Darnold, and Jared Goff coming up. So that is a concern for sure. But I think if Jaden gets back and he's healthy and he's got his receivers, he's got, you know, he hopefully Terry McLaurin stays healthy, Debo stays healthy, they'll have a chance week in and week out if they're healthy on offense. But yeah, it's a concern because they don't look like they can stop anybody.
Right now, we're taking a closer look at the Washington Commanders for a couple of more minutes here. Kevin, tell me how Washington pulls off the upset. We had a stat earlier today that said that double-digit dogs are 27-9-1 against the spread on Monday Night Football since 2007. So the math, history says that Washington has a chance to keep this game close, keep this game interesting. You've mentioned the defense. I think you and I would agree. If you can't stop Patrick Mahomes, you might as well not even get off the bus because the Chiefs can hang a 40 spot on you. But let's paint this scenario that this game ends up being close in the final 15 minutes. How do you think the Commanders pull that off?
I think they got to shorten the game. I think they've got to try to run the football, you know, 11-on-11 style, meaning Marcus Mariota's got to be a big part of the run game tonight, and I think he will be. I think they'll use him, you know, on every snap as a potential runner, whether it's zone read or designed runs. I think you're going to see him very much involved in the run game, and somehow they've got to keep possession of the ball. It was their formula last year against the better teams that they played. They're 28th in time of possession. Last year, they were top five. They can run the football, and I think they've got to try to do that tonight and keep their defense on the sideline and then, of course, make it pay off, you know, with touchdowns, not field goals. So they need like an 8-possession game, scoring on 5 of them, and you know, and hoping that they're there. They've also been very much prone to self-infliction, you know, with penalties, with turnovers, with drop passes. I think they lead the league, or they did 2 weeks ago in drop passes. And so those things can't happen if you're going to pull it off tonight. And then somehow they've got to limit the explosives. They gave up 7 plays last week of 17 yards or more, 7 in a game. And obviously the off-schedule stuff with Mahomes, they've got to just cross their fingers and pray. But I think it all starts with what they do in offense. If they can possess the football and run the football and shorten the game and not commit mistakes, you know, they can hang in there.
Last couple of questions here, Kevin. We appreciate your time. First question, I guess I've never asked you this. You come on the show a couple of times. I've never asked you these two questions. Question number one, which team do Washington fans hate more? Is it the Eagles or the Cowboys?
It's the Cowboys. I mean, Redskins, Cowboys, just like, you know, Raiders, Chiefs for many, many years. It was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. It's the rivalry that I grew up with. And you know, people that are older fans that, you know, don't love the new name and don't love the new uniforms and all of that stuff. The Cowboys were it. I mean, Redskins Cowboys wasn't just the best rivalry in the game. It was one of the best rivalries in the sport for 3 decades. So it's still Dallas. But we're not Dallas's number one anymore. And that's what hurts about the last quarter century. You know, rivalries are a big part of fandom. And during the Snyder years, because the team was so inept, you know, Dallas and Philly became the rivalry in the division. You know, Philly Giants, Dallas Giants, those were just much bigger games. So hopefully we get back to, you know, a run here of being successful with new ownership and, you know, just a more competent organization and with a quarterback that looks like he's the real deal and we can develop something once again. But Dallas was always it for the majority of fans.
do you ever find yourself thinking that you miss when they call themselves just the football team? Because I actually wish they had just kept it and called themselves the Washington football team. I liked that name.
There's no doubt. I mean, I've said it for, you know, the last 3 years on the air. Like, we all realize Redskins isn't a possibility. I don't think the league would ever allow them to do it, even though it would be the overwhelming popular choice among fans. So my preference has always been, let's just go back to Washington, you know, football club, football team, and we can all as fans call them by our own nickname. You know, the burgundy and gold, the skins, whatever you want to call them. But yeah, and bring back the old feel. You know, guys, for a lot of fans, in February of 22, when they rolled out the new name and the new uniforms, it felt like an expansion team had landed in town. And that's the part of it that not everybody's gotten over. Winning helps, no doubt. But it's going to take a long run of winning to kind of get everybody back on board. They're going to roll out, I think, the old uniforms for the first time next week, and I think that'll become more permanent next year. But yes, to answer your question, undoubtedly, my preference, other than the old name, which isn't a possibility, would have been to just go back to Washington football team, or, you know, Washington FC, or however you would, you know, kind of present it.
That is Kevin Sheehan joining us on the show with Team 980 in the nation's capital. Kevin, man, appreciate you making time for us today, my man.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That is Kevin Sheehan joining us on the show. He said something there very, very interesting at the end. Let's talk about it before we sign off today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
I thought he said something really interesting there in the end about their name. And obviously, people in Washington want them to go back to the other name because that's the name that they grew up on. I know there are people that push back on it, but I think most logical people understand, most reasonable people understand why in 2025 you can't call yourself the old name that Washington's football team used to be. I get it. I also thought he made a really good point there about, well, when they were just a football team, we could just kind of call it what we wanted to call it. But now we have to call them the Commanders, and it felt like an expansion team. This kind of goes to something that I've thought for a while, and I just kind of forgot about it, honestly, but hearing him say that kind of brought it back. You remember there was a while that the block was hot about the Chiefs. They changed Washington's football team. They changed Cleveland's baseball team. And people were looking around and thinking, who was next? You remember this. And it was, what about the Braves? What about the Chiefs? What about this thing? And people were making the arguments that they always make, and I get it. And I remember saying this whenever the Chiefs didn't put the corporate sponsor on it, and I thought the Chiefs were actively doing things to kind of distance themselves from that because they don't want to change the name. It's part of the tradition. Home of the Chiefs. They don't want to change the name. You remember, this is around the time that they started calling it GEHA Field, and they stopped calling it Arrowhead around this time.
They also changed it from the Tomahawk Chop to just the Chop.
For sure. And you remember, they also stopped really promoting you doing it the way that they used to. It used to be a part of it. Now, they added the drum thing. That wasn't really a thing when you and I were a kid, but that's kind of it when you're talking about branding, at least when it comes to that kind of way. And if you've noticed it, nobody talks about this topic anymore. It's over. I'm not saying it can't restart. Sure, I guess it can. But you remember there was a 5-year stretch where the pressure was on Washington to change their name. The pressure was on the Cleveland baseball team to change their name. That's where they're the Indians. You know that. It was pressure on them to change their name. There is no pressure on the Chiefs anymore. It's gone, completely gone for them to do it. When's the last time this was a national conversation about the Chiefs or the Seminoles or any of the teams that were being talked about during this stretch? So really good job by the Chiefs in terms of branding, and they were able to completely avoid this thing. Completely avoid it.
It was, I mean, I'm trying to think. We were doing the show together, so maybe in 21 or 22.
I liked the football team. I really did.
The block was hot.
It was very hot.
Mirror, this also around the time that the Chiefs came out with an alert. I think this is 2021, maybe in 2022. They banned headdresses from the stadium.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were doing...
If you were wearing that to football games, that was nuts from the very, very beginning.
100%
agree. And you remember...
They had to come out and ban it, which they did, to their credit.
And you remember, that's also when the Chiefs were doing a really big, hey, they're cool with us. You remember that? Hey, they're cool with us. Chiefs were making donations and taking pictures with people. They were really proactive in, hey, we don't mean any disrespect by this. We don't want to change our name. I thought the Chiefs did a really good job of this one. I don't want to fear monger with this game because I'm honestly confident in this game. I feel the way that you guys feel. And I don't think the Chiefs are winning 41-0 today, but I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. I saw this stat and it was interesting to me. Double digit underdogs on Monday Night Football since 2007 are 27-9-1 against the spread. Now, I'm not touching this game from the gambling perspective. I might take a touchdown or two, but I have no interest in touching the spread. Now, some of my fear comes from this. Now, I have seen the Chiefs over the last couple of years, and they did this probably 8 to 10 times last year. Some of my fear is, are the Chiefs going to put a C-plus effort out there? We don't want to show Buffalo anything. We're looking ahead to the most important game. It's the NFC game. The weather is blah outside. It's a short week. Could you see the Chiefs potentially do this where the game is just more uncomfortable than it needs to be? So a big thing for me, at least, and this is going to be, do the Chiefs start quick again? Last week, they just never gave the Raiders any possibility or any hope of winning that game or even keeping the game close. They scored on their first three drives, long touchdown drives. They stopped the Raiders and just ended any hope, any momentum of anything being interesting heading into the second half. Are the Chiefs going to do the same thing where they just get Washington down early on, ground and pound, and the ref has to come in and stop the fight? Or is this just going to be a game in the middle of the third quarter? It's 21-17. The Chiefs are clearly in control of the game, but they can't just take their foot off the gas yet. That's, to me, the intrigue. That's the real question when it comes to this game. I'll pick the Chiefs. 31-21 feels about right to me for this game. A potential late touchdown from the Commanders, but at this point, I just don't know how you pick against the Chiefs to score 30, especially not with everything we heard about Washington's defense.
We didn't get a chance to play it, but when Kevin Sheehan said, they can't stop the run, they have no pass rush, their secondary is soft.
Sounded a lot like Jim Mora.
It sounded a lot like Jim Mora. So yeah, I like the Chiefs today. I don't think the Chiefs are going to sleepwalk. I think the Chiefs are locked in for this one because Monday Night Football, maybe the fan base isn't, but the team is. Give me the Chiefs 35-21.
Coming up on the other side, we got the Chiefs pregame show. You know what? Do me a favor. Listen to the entire thing. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.